The goodness of Jesus Christ is played out in the gospel when Jesus can recognize the faith of a group of people who bring to him someone is not able to carry himself. If you are here today and you need someone to lean into, Jesus is here to touch you with healing and forgiveness. And our prayer is that you are surrounded by a group of people who can carry you to Jesus. Let us pray. In your goodness, Lord Jesus Christ, now call us to remember the good news of your work on earth and how you invite us to come to you and to bring others along with us so that together we might be healed and forgiven. Now may your word and the power of your spirit provide healing and forgiveness through this moment of hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. When something important is happening and you become urgently passionate about getting the work done, bringing a person in need to a place where they can get the help that they need, you are not likely to let many obstacles or people stand in your way. My father and mother tell the story of the time of the birth of my oldest brother. They were new to the area of Burbank in Southern California, and my mother called my father at work. She said, "I'm in labor. We need to go to the hospital." He rushed home. He put her in the car, and they took off in the midst of traffic. Even in 1941, there was traffic in Southern California. My dad did not let any obstacles stand in his way. Not that he ran anybody over, but he made haste and didn't necessarily wait for the red lights to turn green. There was a traffic policeman who noticed that and decided to pull him over in the midst of my mother's labor pains. And he asked my dad, "What's your hurry?" My dad said, "Take a look at my wife." And she was in the middle of one of those massive movements. And the policeman said, "Oh, I see. Let's go." And proceeded to usher them by motorcade through the traffic and all the lights all the way to the hospital. Nothing stood in their way. Together, they carried my mother to a place where she could provide for the delivery of her child. It is important that we realize that when people need the intervention of healing and forgiveness in their lives, that we who stand around them and we who live life for them have an opportunity to carry them into the presence of Jesus. And we don't let obstacles stand in our way. Jesus, in this story, is confronted with a number of people who seem to get carried away with the energy around Jesus. There are people here who are carried away and passionate about bringing their friends to Jesus when their friends cannot carry themselves. There are groups who are getting carried away, providing clear accessibility to Jesus, removing all the obstacles. There are groups here who are carried away in their resistance to what Jesus is doing, and they're rather upset by Jesus' increase of authority to forgive sins and heal. Jesus shows us and teaches us that forgiveness is intimately connected to healing and vice versa. In James chapter 5, the apostle clearly states the connection between these two. By imploring the people of God to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you might be healed. It is a deep connection of confession of our sin to our freedom to be healed and our ability to carry each one of us mutually into the presence of Jesus for confession, forgiveness, and healing. In fact, in some ways, Jesus is more interested in forgiveness than he is in healing. It is interesting to me in the Lord's Prayer, for example, that there is nothing in the prayer that pleads for healing. It is, however, stated, "Forgive us this day our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgiveness leads to healing, is interwoven with healing, and is the ultimate purpose of why Jesus came to us. When we want healing, Jesus may give us forgiveness instead, much to our frustration. Can you imagine what the group felt like when they brought Jesus, the man, and the first thing out of Jesus' mouth, when they were expecting be healed, was, "Your sins are forgiven." "Thanks a lot, Jesus. We're expecting a little bit more than that." But Jesus' message is clear. That is as good as it gets. You can't get anything more than that. Forgiveness is the foundation and completion of healing. In fact, unanswered healing prayers may be a severe pathway to encourage us towards ultimate forgiveness. It may be that you in your life are not experiencing healing because you in your life are needing deep forgiveness. And God's trying to catch your attention. There is a battle here for Jesus' attention. A group's faith can carry a hurting person to healing and forgiveness. You notice when the person who is paralyzed is not able to carry himself, it is the group who carries him to Jesus. If you are at a place in your life when you say, "I just don't have the faith to go to Jesus. I don't have the faith to pray. I don't have the faith to accept Jesus' forgiveness," it is all the more reason why we need people around us who can carry us into healing and forgiveness in Jesus' presence. Some here today in worship do not have the strength to even worship. They can't sing the hymns. They can't pray the prayers because life is so full of pain. There's too much anger. There's too many reasons to not forgive. And that's when the rest of us surround them with singing and prayers. And when they cannot pray and sing, we pray and sing for them. Many people come to worship to lean into the rest of the community's prayers and hymns. Groups can have the faith for an individual to be healed and forgiven when the individual does not have their own faith. A group of this church's leaders recently were concerned about my health. And they decided to take some action and carry me in their own way into a healthier place. They decided to help me get a hold of a personal trainer. Basically saying, "We are really concerned about your health and you will now do exercises." And as it turned out, when I looked in the printout for the name of my personal trainer, his name was De Jesus. Of Jesus. From Jesus. Isn't it interesting that my personal trainer's name is Jesus? Guess what? That's your personal trainer too. And I needed to have a group carry me to a healthier place in the presence of Jesus. It is true for every aspect of our lives when we are not able to carry ourselves. We need those around us to lean in and carry us. Today we recognize that In Touch Ministry, a new ministry in our church, is a team of people who go into homes to carry people into the presence of Jesus who are not able to carry themselves here to worship and be part of the ministry of this church. That is one of the great ministries of the people of God, to go to people who are not able to come to us. Meals on Wheels does the same thing. There are a number of ministries that take seriously that some people are homebound. They're home-centered, and they cannot get out, and we need to go to them. Faith sometimes appears in groups that are so passionate about their mission to bring another person to Jesus that absolutely nothing can stand in the way. They will get carried away in their passion to bring people to Jesus. And in this particular story, you'll notice that even the crowd cannot stop them, and even the roof cannot stop them. I've often wondered, it doesn't say anything about the text about the homeowner and how they felt about their roof being destroyed. Are you willing to sacrifice your roof to have a group bring people to Jesus? How about your home? Well, this home was owned by Peter and Andrew. It was their family home, and Jesus was busily healing people in their home. Their home had been a sacrifice for groups to bring people to Jesus. Jesus is so impressed with the faith of the group, and not because of the individual faith of the man who's being carried, but the faith of those who bring him, that he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." It is the faith of the group that brings forgiveness and healing to the person. It is not the person's faith. Do not believe for one moment that God is dependent upon your alone faith and things aren't happening because you alone don't have faith. That is not the case. One of the reasons we are in Christian community is because we need to lean into each other's faith when we don't have enough. Faith is doing everything possible to get that paralyzed man to Jesus. Nothing will stand in the group's way. They hoist him up on the roof, and they hoist him through the roof down in the face of Jesus. And Jesus is so impressed with all their mechanical engineering abilities that he says, "I'm going to respond to your faith. Son, your sins are forgiven." It is important that we take responsibility for the act of carrying one another's concerns and pain. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Galatians, "Carry one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." That is the pattern of Christ in teaching and healing, that Jesus rewards people who bring others to Jesus. But notice what Paul does next in order to give us a clear message that we shouldn't be dependent all the time on others to do our faith for us. Oh, by the way, Paul says, everyone must carry their own burdens as well. It is important that we lean into others when we can't carry our faith, but maturity demands that we take responsibility at some point and we stop our dependence upon others. It's a part of growing up into Jesus' healing and wholeness. NPC is a church where parents are more and more bringing their children here. And not only that, it is more and more a church where the children are carrying the parents into Jesus' presence. The number one way in which parents come to church today is because the children lead them into the church. We must make up our minds that we will be a place that welcomes parents and children in every way possible, and not to allow any of them to be blocked out or put obstacles in their path, because Jesus particularly loves the children. It is important that we provide accessibility and not put up obstacles. My own daughter, Tamara, when she was about 4 years old, was concerned about my health. It seems to be a pattern in my life. I was lying in bed, not doing well at all. And she came in and she said, "Daddy, I'm really worried about you. You're very sick. Can I pray for you? I want you to be better. I want to ask God to help you to be better." And so there she prayed. She carried me into Jesus' presence. A four-year-old can do that for a parent. 1997, I was on a retreat with a group of pastors from all over the world. We were studying small group ministry together. And we had broken the class of about 20 into different sizes of small groups, and fours and fives. And we were getting close to the end of our two-week time together, and one of the small groups that had been meeting regularly for Bible study, prayer, and for building the projects and relationships came to me and said, "You may find this very strange, but each in our own way, one of us with a vision, one of us with a dream, one of us with a sense of discernment, and all of us together with an experience of God breaking in on us, have decided that we are called to pray for you today, right here and now. Sit down and let us pray for you." Well, that's a little shocking to have a group of people you really don't know say, "We've been called to pray for you." And having gotten through the shock, I finally agreed to it, and they explained the situation. They said, "There are two things that we're praying for you about. One is, you're about ready to go through some very difficult times in your life, and we're going to pray that God will not let you go and that you will not let go of God during that difficult time. Secondly, we're praying because we believe that you're called to do something extraordinarily important in the future. We don't know what it is, but we're praying that God will be with you as you're called to do it." I thought they were nuts. But you know what happened? They prayed for me that day, and everything that they prayed for came true. And God needed to be with me, and I needed to lean into group abilities and prayers when I didn't have enough for myself. One of the reasons I believe I'm standing here today is because that group of four pastors, two Presbyterians, two Methodists, two from the United States and two from different countries around the world, took time to listen to God and carried me into the presence of Jesus. It is important that we allow groups to carry us when we cannot carry ourselves. Faithful leaders who lead such groups will not allow themselves to be sabotaged by obstacles or opposition. There are many obstacles and points of opposition in this text. The crowds get in the way, the roof gets in the way, powerful people get in the way, this little group of scribes over in the corner mumbling to each other about all the stuff they're frustrated with around Jesus' healing and forgiveness. "How dare you, Jesus, forgive people? Only God can do that." But Jesus has told the disciples, faith removes mountains. Faith removes obstacles. Faith says no to opposition, and Jesus did that in the face of opposition. He said no and yes to healing and forgiveness. It is important that leadership is willing to refuse opposition and obstacles. Edward Friedman, in his book Generation to Generation, talks about the connection between the systems of people's lives and how we're interconnected and leadership. In his final work, which was published posthumously, called Failure of Nerve, he works through the impact of how leaders are too often sabotaged by people who want to put obstacles in their way. He uses the dramatic example of Abraham Lincoln as being the president following five other presidents who finally said, "I will not allow this union to dissolve. Come hell or high water, we will stay together, even if we have to go to war." Lincoln refused to be sabotaged by a number of people, including some of his own generals, who would see things differently. Jesus refused to be sabotaged by those who had a different view of reality. "Jesus, how dare you forgive sins? How dare you heal people on the Sabbath?" Jesus said, "It's what God wants." It is important that we as leaders in various places of leadership are not sabotaged by people who would undermine the good things that need to be done. Because often the good comes at a high cost in the face of great resistance. It is an affirmation throughout the scriptures that no matter what happens in opposition and obstacles, God is with us. Joshua, God's word to Joshua, "Be of good courage, I am with you as you go into war." The book of Romans, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God, even the most extreme opposition and circumstances. Be of good courage." Some powerful people, religious leaders, people who have religion at their heart of the mechanics of who they are, can be great oppositional presences for the good of what God wants to do. Politics and military work and business and all the systems that we have are no comparison to religion gone awry when it wants to oppose God's best. We must be careful that we in our self-righteousness, opinionated roles and controlling patterns do not block what Jesus wants to do. To use religion as a fix, an addiction, an abuse, a captivity, or an oppression, Jesus says no to that and will not be sabotaged. We have a choice today. We can join a group that provides triage to people for forgiveness of healing, or we can join a group that's more like a religious terrorist cell and put up obstacles and complaints. Choose. Jesus clearly rewards the faith of the group that carries people to healing and forgiveness. Use our power to serve and not to enslave. I believe that we need to go through some self-tests so that we know that we're not the scribes that are over in the corner resisting the group bringing the person to Jesus. If you can't carry yourself today, then lean into others who can. If you know someone who can't carry themselves to Jesus, then form a team and carry them to Jesus. If you are in a group together and you're looking for a ministry or mission, then find someone to carry to Jesus. Be in a group in the church that does ministry to carry people to Jesus. Be in a mission group outside that carries people to Jesus, but participate in bringing people to Jesus. My wife and I were in a group many years ago that were learning how to lead small groups. It was made up mostly of Methodists. They were leaning into a Presbyterian to teach them about that. God still works in miraculous ways. As we began to describe what we were going to do in the group, we were going to study the Bible together, we're going to pray for each other, we're going to build relationships. When we got to the point of describing our commitment to pray together out loud, one of the members of the group said, "There's no way I'm praying out loud in this group. It's not going to happen." And we said, "That's okay. Would you mind if we prayed for you?" "Oh, that's okay. Just don't push me to pray myself." And so for weeks we prayed together and we prayed for her and with her, but she did not pray. And finally, one day she said, "You know, I've been in this group and you've all shown me a gracious way to pray, and I'd like to pray if you don't mind." We said, "Sure." She offered a prayer that transformed the group. And afterwards she said, "You know, let me tell you the story of why I didn't want to pray." Verbal prayers, prayers out loud, were used in my family of origin to precede times of beating. That's the only time we prayed out loud. So anytime I prayed out loud, I identify it with punishment. So this is the first group I've been in where I've learned that the grace of God can come through verbal prayers. That woman today is leading groups, teaching people how to pray out loud. She's carrying people to Jesus. She's leading groups of people who do not know how to come to Jesus. Today, this is an opportunity to lean into your community of love and let them bring you to Jesus. Today it's an opportunity to put together a group of people and carry somebody else to Jesus. Today is an opportunity for us to realize that healing is deeply connected to forgiveness, and Jesus wants to forgive us to the depths of our being and make us whole. Let us pray. Gracious God, in Jesus Christ, you have shown us the way to forgiveness and healing. We ask now that you would lead us to have the courage to say no to obstacles and opposition, to lead people into your presence, so that you may heal by the power of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.